Chair. My name is Asanda Machobeni. I'm alternating with Mr. Mlaudz. I've got a concern, as my colleague did say so, Mr. Bekwa. What are the plans to fast track the transfer of function for the Department of Trade and Industry to the new department? And also, the delays in transferring this function, not obstructively, to the new mandate of the department. Then the other question, for the implementations of the SEDA technology program, the annual target is to establish 48 incubators, as you said so in your escalator, in your slide. And you indicate that the actual achievement for quarter one is 43. Is this the case? Is this 43 the actual achievement for quarter one, or a baseline from some other time? And also, the same clarity is needed for the number of SMMEs approved. The annual target is 962 to another slide, but there's no number. 962. And the actual achievement for quarter one is 1,576. What is the real story here? If you have exceeded your targets already, what implications will this have for the budget allocated to this function? I must end this, then I will take another round if there's another round. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I'm very, very, very concerned at what we've heard this morning, Honorable Chair. I'm going to reserve my comments for next week, because my colleague, Honorable Kruger, and myself need to go back and study this in detail before we come back with comments. But I do have very serious concerns about the implications that these presentations have for the viability of this department. Thank you.
Can we have the responses from the Chair, I'll ask the acting DDG to respond in terms of the APP.
Thank you, Chair. I think in terms of the SEDA incubators, I made mention of the fact that this is the baseline. These are the incubators that have been existing. The target was to actually add, as I said, 5 on top of the 43 to make 48. Which target hasn't been achieved. And I've made mention in terms of the variance that we intend to fast track this for the next quarter to realize that target. But this has been the baseline. These are the incubators so it's not a performance for the first quarter, if I may explain. I don't know if I am understood. But it's a baseline. It's the incubators that are under SEDA stable that are existing. We're building from that baseline to add five incubators on that.
Honorable Chair and honorable members, this is a performance on the basis of the first quarter, because the support is accorded to the existing 43 incubators as indicated in the APP as per output as well as the performance indicator. And then in terms of the exceeded targets, I will ask the acting DDG to respond. On the issue of the migration plans within the respective departments, the discussions are ongoing. We submitted a proposal to the National Micro Organization of the State in terms of the consideration for the structure of the department, And as we have indicated in the other engagements, that the ministers are yet to meet and workshop the areas of migration in this regard. We subsequently received a note from DPSA that makes an indication on what structure should be considered by the department. We have sent a letter to DPSA objecting to their proposal, as we believe that it will not, as the proposed structure from their side will not assist us in executing the mandate of the department. However, what has been left out in terms of these engagements, whether with DPSA or National Treasury, as well as Economic Development, is the migration of CIFA as a financial entity to support our work. That discussion has not been held, but what we the indication that we got from DPSA is that that would be subsequent to the finalization of the structure to be determined for the department, the discussions around CIFA and how it can support our department. And this is a notion that we have sent back to DPSA objecting that all the elements that have been earmarked for migration, they shall be done accordingly at once. And this has been our approach to DPSA. So we are awaiting a reviewed indication from DPSA in terms of what we have proposed. And also the other element in terms of migration is that the relinquishing department manages the system, and also the recipient department has a role. So no engagement has taken place to a full extent, because one of the things that we have to do as the recipient department is to go and negotiate at the bargaining council to ensure that we don't leave people worse off in terms of the benefits that were accruing to them whilst they were a DTA. So there's the varying as well as the differing processes. However, as the department, we have completed the elements of the national macro organization of the state. We've also made presentations as entailed in the strategic plan in terms of the MTEF proposal in this regard. Thank you.
Chair, if I may respond to the question of 9962 vis-a-vis the milestone of 200, we're reporting on the cumulative, because the model, it takes account of client support and over an extended period. So it actually takes a cumulative. But if you make a quick, actually, sort of calculation in terms of if you were to actually compare the performance in terms of the milestone, That figure has been exceeded, because we're talking about 614 additional SMME supported over and above the 962, which is actually the annual target. So for the quarter we have about 601, but the annual target is looking at 962. But this is a cumulative figure. 1,576. We are actually reporting on a cumulative.
Thank you. In our workshop of the portfolio committee, we indicated to the department that our assessment of the performance of the department will not be the numbers of cooperatives and SMEs. And we asked the department to change their reporting style to us, because we indicated that the starting point is not the SMME and the cooperative. The starting point is why we are involved in the development of SMEs and cooperatives. What are the socio-economic challenges that we are addressing in the country through SMEs and cooperatives? So the performance in indicates I can't be the number of SMMEs and the number of cooperatives. That we do not know the status of its members before the intervention. Their socioeconomic conditions before the intervention, as the structure, as well as people that are coming from the society. And this report is still in the same way that you were reporting to DTI. To DTI, you were reporting the number of SMMEs and cooperatives. And to us, we are saying, as much as you would be reporting about that number, but tell us, who are these people? What are their socioeconomic conditions that are undesirable, that necessitates the intervention by government to invest in them? And what change do we expect to see as a result of that intervention? To be very, very specific, we should be able to say members of the SMMEs are people that are drawn from the unemployable or unemployed people in a society. Which would then tell us how that intervention relates to making those people economic active, so that they do not remain a burden to government. By way of looking after them, by providing them with social grants and providing them with handouts in a form of houses, in a form of free water, in a form of free electricity, resulting with municipalities that do not have a broadening revenue base. So the number of SMMEs and cooperatives is good to know, but who are those? Is this a cooperative that belongs to Ruth Bengu, who still earns a salary in Parliament? Is this an SMME that belongs to Ruth Bengu, who still earns a salary in Parliament? Or it is a cooperative that has got a specific target because it talks to issues of socio-economic transformation. So I would want Bina to hear that, to say, one, if we look at strategy goal number 3, what was the nature of the support that was given to those people? If you are saying we facilitate broad-based economic participation through targeted interventions to achieve more inclusive growth, that is very broad and very general. And you can't measure it except by saying so many were assisted. So a strategic goal has to be measurable. But also, it doesn't tell the problem that was being addressed by that intervention. The nature of the intervention and the problem that was being addressed by that intervention. And lastly, the change that was effected through the intervention. We are not in a business of numbers. We are in a business of social change and economic change. So that is what we need to hear. What were the problems? what was the nature of the intervention and support, and what change was effected, so that we can see that these people are moving from an undesirable situation to a desirable situation. When shall we see them becoming self-reliant, self-sufficient, and affording to pay for services rendered to them by municipalities? Because that is what is meant by socio-economic change. We can't continue to have municipalities that are supporting, are supplying free services to indigent families who cannot afford to pay for services. We have to make those families self-reliant and self-sufficient. Now, the intervention in terms of SMME development and cooperative development has to speak to that. Now, coming to the internal capacity of the cooperative and the SMME, we need to understand what were the challenges. What is it that they were failing to do, which then required an intervention? And how does the intervention match to the problem that they were experiencing? And what was the expected end result after the intervention? And was that expected end result achieved? That is what we want to hear.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. We take note of your concerns, and we shall, I think, table the report again from the APP perspective, and flag the areas that the Honorable Chairperson has indicated in terms of how these were structured prior to the intervention, and how the how has the interventions impacted the respective localities or societies in this regard. And I think this shall be an element that we shall take into consideration as we further review our strategic plan, to ensure that when we meet after honorable members have had an opportunity to engage in their respective study groups, would have like an improved version that talks to those elements. Honorable Chair, I was hoping and that we'll most probably get a sense from Honorable Chance in terms of his consents, because he says his consent, so that we can go and rework and ensure that his consents are taken into account as we review the strategic plan. Thank you.
Thank you, and Acting DG. The program has for next week's committee meeting the feedback from us committee members on this report, if I'm not mistaken, Chair, correct? So if you don't mind, I'm going to reserve my comments until then, because I'm going to actually present a detailed, in a sense, recommendation or series of recommendations for how we believe that the department should carry on its business from here, based upon what you presented to us this morning.
I also think that what we need to understand is that our country has got features of two worlds. There's a third world part of South Africa and a first world part of South Africa. And when we talk of inequalities in South Africa, you're actually referring to that. That there are pockets in our country that have very, very, very poor communities. And in KwaZulu-Natal, I know that the poorest wards, there are six of them in the whole province. Five are found in Msinga, and one is found in Dan. That is the information that exists in the province. Meaning that when an intervention that talks to socio-economic development, there should be a specific focus that says which communities are mostly affected by poverty and what resources exist in those communities. It can't be a strategy that is implemented evenly, as if levels of development are even. The levels of development are not even. They are uneven. That is why we have inequality as a challenge. How do we pull those that are at the bottom of the poverty line? And if we don't pull them from that situation, how sustainable is leaving them dependent on government social grants? That should be the approach. So it can be that we will have a one-size-fits-all. We can't have a one-size-fits-all. We'll have to map the country. And have a clear understanding of where pockets of poverty and unemployment and what opportunities exist in those areas, taking into account that there is public procurement and infrastructure spend as one of the key drivers for SMME development and cooperative development in the country. So when we talk of manufacturing, do we see the manufacturing of a JoJo tank as an opportunity because of the human settlement rollout program that says we should harvest water? Do we see that as an opportunity for developing small manufacturers to make them take advantage of that opportunity? Do we see the manufacturing of a door frame and a window frame for an RDP house as an opportunity? Do we see the manufacturing of a door RTP house as an opportunity for development of SMEs? So let's move away from talking about numbers. Let's talk about the real issues. What can be had and what we can see. So as Honorable Chancellor said, and I have said in the beginning, the study groups are going to go back into their study groups and analyze this presentation, come back and make the comment. But all that we are saying is that the strategic plan has to speak to the priorities that the country wants to address. The NDP talks about poverty, unemployment, and inequalities. And if we can't relate to that in our strategy and also in our reporting system. It will be difficult for us to find each other. Honorable Chancellor.
Thanks, Chair. I actually do have one question, please, if you wouldn't mind clarifying something. The programs that you referred to, Acting DG, in your presentation, can I just understand, are these drawn from the parts of the presentation you gave us earlier, or are these additional programs? And if so, where does the money come from? How do those figures for Program 1, Program 2, Program 3, and so on, how do those figures tally with your overall expenditure budget, if at all, or do they come from another budget?
The programs would come from the new budget that is proposed on the MTEF basis. The others, there is a baseline for other programs. Other programs don't have a baseline. Maybe we'd have to indicate that in the reviewed presentation, Honorable Chancellor.
Yeah, I think it just would help us understand, because at the moment there are line item budgets and then there are program budgets. Somehow the two need to be unpacked so that we can understand how they relate to one another. Do you understand?
Yes.
Okay.
Are there any further points? Yes.
Okay, things to add more to your issues. There is a strategic framework for gender and women empowerment under e-development, which is commendable, but what of the youth? Should the department not be targeting this sector specifically? What are the plans to encourage youth people to be entrepreneurs instead of seeking employment? And also, if the department is serious about equalitative massification of small entrepreneurs, of small businesses, should we not make it a policy of government that government should procure at least 70% of products it consumes from small-scale businesses? Because we see that we support all pick and pay, shop rights, whereas there are small businesses in our areas, their need is support from the government. And also, Chair, as you mentioned it before, I see nothing specific about the specularity of challenges faced by rural communities and peri-urban aspiring SMEs in this APP. What are the plans to make sure that the rural and peri-urban entrepreneurs are supported by the department? And also,
Gabon, put your shoes.
No,
and you are doing exactly what we said we would be doing next.
Oh, okay. I must stop that. I must stop there.
Okay. You can respond if you have answers to that. But as I had said in the beginning, that we will engage in this next week when we have analyzed this as study groups.
I can attempt at the risk of having follow-up questions, Honorable Chair. Just to expand to the response that I gave to Honorable Chance in terms of the budget, is that the programs as reported in the APP were budget lines. I mean, we reported on the budget lines, so we've converted those into the respective programs. Hence, you see the upscaling in terms of the financial resources. But we shall do a breakdown so that the members have a clear idea, for instance, in terms of what was allocated for cooperatives
was within the DTI as a budget line, enterprise development was within the DTI as a budget line, not as a program, because the program was focusing on broadening participation across the board, and that included a BEE as part of that of the program. So we shall do that breakdown and send that accordingly. Just for the department does have programs that are aimed at enhancing the participation of youth, and in this regard we've got the youth enterprise development, and what we have done, we have considered programs that will amplify that initiative, and those are indicated in the presentation, but I wouldn't expand on those, but just to say we do have such programs, and we have considered additional, particularly focusing on enterprise development. The way we have considered the new programs for the new department is that we shall have interventions that shall benefit all the groups that we are targeting. For instance, if we're talking about enterprise development and entrepreneurship, that shall benefit cooperatives, that shall benefit the youth, that shall benefit women, and that shall benefit people with disabilities. So that is the manner that we have crafted the new programs that are being proposed. But we shall elaborate at the next session once the members have interrogated the proposals at their respective study groups. Thank you.
If there are no further comments, it would be a pleasure for me to declare this meeting closed. First time to finish it. Thank you. The fact that I was using a crush does not mean that I'm too old. I just had an accident, so they are thinking that I am old and I have forgotten what I wanted to say. The colloquium is taking place on the 21st to the 23rd of October. And the challenge is that the 22nd will be a thrilling week, leaving us with the challenge of saying if we were to have a delegation, we could only utilize the 21st. And also, not the entire committee can go. Maybe we could have four members, two representing the majority party, one representing the majority opposition party, and one representing the smaller parties, if we decide to go. And also, it would mean that those that would attend on the 21st would have to leave very early on the 22nd, 6 o'clock flight, to be here for us to have this meeting as usual, and also be in the house at 2 o'clock. So we need to take a decision on that. I couldn't take that decision, and they kept on phoning me, and I said, no, we have to go to the courts of Lugumbe because they are best challengers. Another chance.
Thank you, Chair. I agree with your points. I have consulted my chief whip on the matter, and I've taken a decision to be there on the Tuesday. I was invited in my former capacity, as it happens, but certainly I think it's important for members of the committee to be present at this colloquium. I've declined participation on the Wednesday and the Thursday, so I hope that that's not preempting the decision of the committee, but that's our opinion. Could I also, Chair, just raise the question of another event that takes place the following week, which I think I sent you an email about, which is the Enterprise Development Conference taking place at Gallagher Estate, organized by Anglo-American and various other, or at least sponsored by Anglo-American, with an extremely illustrious lineup, including, I may say, the minister and or the acting DG giving a keynote address. Now, this is a critical part of the portfolio's business, and I believe that the committee should allocate a budget to the attendance by certain members of the committee of this event at a cost of some R5,500 per delegate. I think it's very important, A, because it's central to our committee's deliberations, and B, because there are going to be a lot of people both from the private sector and the public sector who will be there. I have been in touch with the organizers of this event, and they have sent me the invitation list, the guest list, which includes large numbers of members of the Department of Small Business Development who are happily going at the cost of the sponsors, which includes themselves. But I do make the request, Chair, that that members of this committee or some members of this committee be sponsored by the committee through its budget to go to this conference, which takes place the following Monday and Tuesday. Thank you.
It is a usual practice that when a committee is invited to attend a conference or an event that relates to its core business, we use the budget of the portfolio committee. So
I'm not aware that the committee has received an invitation to that conference.
No, we have not.
In view of the fact that the department is a co-sponsor, would that not be appropriate to receive an invitation?
Honourable members, we are not co-sponsoring any of the engagements, be it the colloquium or the conference. We've been invited as participants, so we are not co-sponsoring. I know there was a misunderstanding with Anglo. We saw our logo, and we are identified as a co-sponsor of the event. We are not.
So, Madam Chair, would it not be a possible course of action for you to write to the organisers and then ask to be invited, or is that not the way to do it?
I think if they have not considered the portfolio committee as an important structure to be invited, we should not.
Madam Chair, I don't think we should let our pride get in the way of the issue of attending an important conference. Have you inspected the program for this conference? You don't believe it to be important?
No, don't put words into my mouth, Honourable Chair. What I said is that I have not said that it is not important. I haven't said that. What I have said is that we have not been invited. It is an important event, but we have not been invited to it. And if the organizers did not see it necessary to invite the portfolio committee. They have not seen it as necessary. We can't invite ourselves to their event. Maybe they want to talk about us. Yeah, those who are invited at their personal capacity can go, but have not been invited. And the committee has not been invited. So, we will then attend the event to which we are invited. Unless if we get an invitation, then we can consider. We don't want to be gate crushers. It is a very important. I saw the lineup. It's very, very important. But if then the organizers did not see the need to invite the portfolio committee,